In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the role of the priest of the divine will. The first step was being linked to the Blessed Mother. The second step, being linked to Jesus and loving with the heart of Jesus. The third step is learning how to pray the I love you of the round of creation, round of redemption. And we're halfway through that. This is after the life of my divine will, Jesus says to Luisa, to give to the priest, this I love you must be long. This I love you must be within you. And my fiat, which reigns in you, will place on it the seal of the divine I love you. So everything that we're doing humanly is now going to be done divinely. That's what Jesus, as a matter of fact, today's reading, in the first reading, although I am about to create new heavens and a new earth, and the things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I, God, create. For I created Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exalt in my people. So here, this is what the divine will is all about. The divine will is this new heavens and this new earth that God is creating. And he's asking us to enter into this abundant life now before we die, now before it's visible. And that's what God is asking. So he says, after the seal of the divine will, this I love you, that we were breathing in this I love you, and then we breathe this divine I love you back to God. He says, the seal of the divine will be placed in us. So God is doing this, and this is what he's trying to get us ready for. So he says, after this, a sun came before my mind and a very high point. Okay, so in the divine will, this is a vision of Luisa. It's a new beginning that's happening for her and happening with us. So this sun will also come to before our minds, and in a very high point, its light was inaccessible. Continuous little flames came out from the center of this sun, and each one contained an I love you. And as they came out, they placed themselves in order around this inaccessible light. So God has everything in order. Everything that's happening, he has planned, and he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to get ready for what he is going to do. And this is the beauty of this book. Today's in the calendar today, it is so clear what our Lord is trying to get us ready for. It's heaven on earth. It's this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II mentioned, echoing Saint Honorable de Francia's "Divine, I love you." So here, this new and divine way of holiness is coming. Each one of these flames contains an I love you. We're going to enter, as he tells Luisa, the fiat of faith, the fiat of hope, the fiat of charity. We're going to enter into this divine I love you. They're going to be placed in order around this inaccessible light. We're going to witness this beatific vision. We're going to participate in this beatific vision while on earth. This is how Adam lived before the fall. And that's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, my children, she says, we're created to participate in the eternal now of God, this eternal life of God. And now he says, Jesus says, now I'm ready for this. I love you. This participating in God. This eternal life of God, we're going to witness this beatific vision of God, and we're going to participate in that on earth as it is in heaven. So these are the things that are happening with Luisa. She's seeing these things, and Again, it's a divine understanding, and she's putting in human terms this divine understanding, this divine I love you, this fullness of life, fullness of light, fullness of love. And she says this, however, these little flames remained as though bound with a thread of light to that inaccessible light, which nourished the life of the little flames. So everything is connected with God. Everything's going to participate in, with, through, and for God. And so our God is asking us to, as we begin to fully, we begin to enter into this fullness of life that the universal life gives us, this Catholic life gives us, we begin to see what Isaiah said. We begin to see the new heavens and the new earth. Our hope isn't in something we don't know. So Jesus is teaching us how to get ready for the new heavens and the new earth, how to live that now. And this is why there's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. It's to get to that point. Now, all of us continue to sin. All of us continue to go to confession. But there will be that point, that time that Jesus says it will happen as if by magic. He says that in Volume 24. All of a sudden, the kingdom will be here on earth as it is in heaven. And everyone will say, how did this happen? How did the kingdom come? What was it? And Jesus said he's going to basically show the world that it was Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa that brought this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. It's to live this Our Father to the point that it can be manifested. That's what Jesus is saying. So here, these little flames were like so many as to fill heaven and earth. He says, and I seem to see our God as the beginning and the end of everything, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And then these little flames, the whole of creation as a divine birth of pure love, the new heavens and the new earth, a divine beginning. But it's really not the beginning. It's what God breathed into Adam, what Adam lost. And now God wants to give this back to humanity. The time that we're living in, he predestined us to live at this time to begin to live again that abundant life, but more than what Adam had. Jesus says to Louisa, you know, you can't lose this because you have more than what I gave to Adam. And Louisa says, what did you give more to me than to Adam? And he says, Adam did not have me, Jesus, as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve. He didn't have that. But you have this, Louisa, and you can't lose this gift. This is what's so great. So Louisa says this beginning and the end, to see God, to participate in God, these little flames of the whole of creation as a divine birth of pure love. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love and drown. I don't want you to ever leave. And when we hear the word drown, we go, I don't want that to happen to me. And Jesus goes, no, you don't understand. It's pure love. It's where I've created you to live in this pure love. And that's why this divine birth of pure love is now close. It's very close. So Shalisa says this. So I too was a little flame, and my sweet Jesus pushed me to take flight through each little flame in order to place them on them a double I love you. So here, all these I love yous that are in creation, Jesus says, your job, Adam's job, was to breathe in this I love you, to participate in this I love you, to multiply this I love you. And so he says, Louisa, he says, I want you to fly through each flame of love. And I want you to place on each flame of love a double I love you. So we begin to understand that participating in God's image and likeness is to do what God does. This is what Jesus did. This is what Mary did. The new Adam and the new Eve. And now Jesus says, I want you, Louisa, and the souls linked to you to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. Listen to what he says. Louisa says, I don't know how, but I found myself outside of myself, wandering around in the midst of those little flames and impressing my I love you upon each one of them. So think about that. What the Lord is asking of us is to do what he gave to Louisa, to go through all the I love yous of creation, participate in all the I love yous of creation, fusing ourselves with the triune God, fusing ourselves with all of creation, fusing ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, fusing ourselves with all of redemption. Why? To participate in this divine I love you. So this is what she says. She says, I don't know, but I found myself wandering around in the midst of all the little flames and impressing my I love you upon each one of them. But there were so many that I got lost. And however, the supreme force would make me find again the order and the round. These are the praying, the rounds of my I love you. So we get to begin to understand that this is why Jesus kept on telling Louisa, you must learn to pray the rounds. You must learn this. This is the way I prayed, Jesus said. This is the way my mother prayed. This is the way Adam prayed before the fall. And he says, what I want, what I expect is that you begin to understand this divine I love you, these rounds of all the I love you, participating, breathing in this I love you, breathing out this divine I love you. And what is that? To participate in that, it's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary. We humans can't do divine acts, but Jesus can. And this is why he said, this is why he created us, so that we can participate in what God has done, what God is now expecting us to participate in. So listen to this. He says, I love you. He says, I want you. Now he's talking to us as well as Louisa, to place on every created thing a double I love you. Okay, so that's just for that second. We see it again. It's another second of a double I love you. And then it's a triple, there's a quadruple. It never ends. We participate in this eternal love of God. This is why Jesus says, I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. Things of the past will not be remembered. What does that mean? Everything is going to be recreated. See, that's Louisa's job. That's our job. To repair, and we do. It's the Holy Spirit prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit, and we will be recreated. And then Jesus says, and then the Holy Spirit will renew the face of the earth through us. Everything's being repaired. Everything's being redone. And God is asking us to do this. He says, I could give you no greater life than repairing and redoing in the divine will. He says, because this is what I did. This is what my mother did. Everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. So when you see something, some sin, and Jesus shows you this, you say to the Lord, number one, thank you for showing this to me. It's showing us what to pray for. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. I'm sorry this offense is to you and you alone. I'm sorry. And then third, I want to repair this as if this sin and all sins didn't exist. It's prepared. And that's why Jesus says, instead, he says, things of the past shall not be remembered or even come to mind. Everything's going to be repaired. Heaven is going to, it's the wedding feast of heaven that God and man will be one again. This is the wedding feast. And what our Lord is asking us, he's asking us to begin to understand that we're here on earth to get ready for the kingdom on earth, not to wait until you die, but to begin to live this peace, joy, and happiness now. So he says this. He says, but they were so, Luis says, there were so many that I would get lost. However, the supreme force would make me find again the order and the round, these praying the rounds of my I love you. It's participating in that infinite love of God, diving into this infinite ocean of love and drowning, Jesus says, never to leave this infinite ocean of love. It's like when Jesus says to Louisa, your human will is like a rusty penny. And Jesus says, it's worthless. It's a rusty penny. It's worthless. And he says, give it to me and I will give you billions of gold. And we say, but if I give you my human will, I won't have it anymore. And God goes, that's right. Give it to me so I can fill you with gold. No more rusty pennies. Jesus says humanity is so far away from what God wants that they look at their human will as something that's a treasure. I'm in charge. No, you're not in charge. The only thing we can do with our human will is end up in hell. So Jesus is saying, give me your human will and I will fill you with all the gold of heaven. And he says, who would be so ridiculous, basically, not wanting to do this? So the more that we learn about the divine will, the more we recognize that this is not for us. The human will is not for us. The divine will is for us. This is our life. This is our love. This is our light. So Jesus says this. Number four, this is the priest. Linked with Louisa, the priest must be a missionary of the divine will and act divinely. The priest must be a light that illuminates. The priest must be a wind that purifies. The priest must be a fire that burns. A priest must be the miracle which causes miracles. That's the priesthood. And Jesus says this is what his priests are going to be like in the new era, with a new heaven and the new earth. So he's asking his priests, begin to live this way. Listen to what he says. You be a missionary of the divine will. Act divinely. Be a divine light that illuminates. Be a divine wind that purifies. Be a divine fire that burns. Be a divine miracle which causes miracles. And what Jesus said about the priesthood is that the priesthood is going to bring about unheard of prodigies are going to flow through the priesthood. This what God has planned is so magnificent that at this point, there's no words to it. I mean, he says a light to illuminate, a wind that purifies, a fire that burns, a miracle that causes miracle, a missionary of the divine will, and the priest must act divinely. So in the letter 126 of Louisa to a Reverend Monsignor, a bishop, this is my wish for the new year, that you may live always in the divine will and that Jesus may make of you a missionary of the divine will. Every bishop, every priest, every deacon, every cleric is going to be a missionary of the divine will. Why? That when the new era comes, it's not going to be of the old. A lot of people want to go back to the 50s. God doesn't work like that. God wants us to always walk forward, to move forward. And what he is doing, he's getting everything ready. He's getting everything ready. It's not to go backwards. It's to move forward. And this missionary spirit that we're supposed to have is supposed to be the true life of Jesus, basically. When I was in the seminary, I was studying to be a diocesan priest. And my spiritual director, he was a MSC, my missionary of the Sacré Cœur. He said to me, this is about probably a few months before my ordination. He says, you don't have a diocesan spirit. And I said, his name was Father Francesco. I said, Francesco, it's kind of late to say, this is what I'm going to be part of this. He says, you have a missionary spirit. You don't have a diocesan spirit. Years later, when I'm sitting down with Archbishop Cassati in Corrado, Archbishop Cassati was my spiritual director's best friend, and they were ordained together. I said to him, you know, Francesco, you know, he was my Archbishop Cassati's best friend. He said, you know, Francesco said that I had a missionary spirit. I said, we're going to see if that's true. And I really do believe that this is what God has planned, but every priest is to be a missionary priest. This is what Jesus is saying. May Jesus make of you a missionary of the divine will. It's to begin to understand that it's not just where you're located. It's to live in the divine will in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, your whole parish. To, as you begin to live in the divine will, somebody in China begins to live in it. As you begin to live in the divine will, somebody in Africa begins to live in it. It's not talking about Louisa like a saint, or you got to join, you know, this group. It's to understand that Jesus is doing this. Every time we read, someone in the world is turning and living in the divine will. Every time we pray in the divine will, somebody is learning how to live this. Jesus is doing this. He says this to Louisa. He says, Louis de Montfort says it very clearly. He says, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. And that's the divine will. As we read, as we study, the world is changing. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, everything is being recreated. The rounds that we pray in the divine will is transforming the face of the earth. God is doing this. Why? He said, as creation was a divine decree, he says redemption was a divine decree. And now he says sanctification is a divine decree. Everything's changing. And God is doing this. This is why when you read, when you study, when you put this into practice, you're happy. Why are you so happy? You're happy because it's a new era that's beginning, and it's affecting everyone and everything throughout the entire universe, the entire universe. So Jesus says this in volume 11. It says, or Louisa says, it seems that the souls who live in my divine will do nothing, okay, while they actually do everything. Louisa would say this to Jesus. She'd say, Lord, let me be a nun so I can go out and help people. I can teach the children. I can work in the hospitals. I can help people. And Jesus says, Louisa, you stay in your bed and learn to live in the divine will. And she says, but I'm doing nothing. And Jesus says, Louisa, you're doing everything. And that's what Jesus says. It seems that the souls who live in my divine will do nothing. Well, they actually are doing everything, because being in my divine will, these souls act divinely in a hidden and surprising way. Okay, what does that mean? Jesus breathed in my breathing. It's Jesus that's breathing. He takes us at our word. Jesus beat in my heart beating. It's Jesus whose heart is beating in our heart beating. Jesus dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. This is what he's saying. Because being in my divine will, these souls act divinely. It's God in us that's doing it. And in a hidden and a surprising way, everything of the earth is being changed. Now, when Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, in December of 1997, she said, everything's completed. Everything's done. What happened in 1997? John Paul II says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. What changed? Okay. The Book of Heaven came out of the secret archives of the Vatican in 1996. Everything began to be changed. Everything is happening. When people are reading, the world is indeed changing. Why? This is the divine decree of God. So what did Padre Pio say? Padre Pio said that the world of the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. The world and the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta. He says, Louisa is a second son that's going to give light and life to everyone and everything. What does that mean? As the sun goes down in the west, a new sun in the east is coming up. No more darkness. That's exactly what's saying here. He says, things of the past shall not be remembered, because I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth, and there will always be rejoicing. And the people will be a delight, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and the people will exalt and praise. That's what we're heading into. It's already begun with the souls who are reading. Why are the souls in the divine will so happy? I was just talking to a woman today, and she says, I'm not the same person. I just began reading last year. She says, I'm not the same person anymore. She says, there is a joy. There's a happiness. This is what it means to be alive. To be alive is to be filled with joy, filled with happiness. And this is what's happening. So Jesus says, the souls who are living in the divine world, they are light, which illuminates. They are wind, which purifies. They are fire, which burns. They are miracles that causes miracles. And those who do miracles are channels. But in these souls reside divine power. Therefore, they are at the foot of the missionary. They are the tongue of the preachers. They are the strength of the weak. They are the patience of the sick. They are the regime of the superiors. They are the obedience of the subjects. They are the tolerance of the slandered. They are the firmness in dangers. They are the heroism in the heroes. They are the courage in the martyrs. They are the sanctity in the saints, and so on with all the rest. The face of the earth is changing because of the divine will. And our God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life, to participate in this complete transformation of the face of the earth. It's begun. It's happening. People say, the doom and gloomers are saying, oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to be, yes, we're going to go through some really bumpy roads. I mean, full tilt as you're riding through on a stagecoach on a plane, you're bouncing all over the place. You know, the woodchuck holes and everything. We're hitting everything and we're bouncing all over the place. And that seat is not cushioned. It's a piece of wood that you're bouncing off of. But God is going to win. We're going to get through this. Jesus says, the four things he says to Louisa, he says, there will be a great chastisement. Why? The world has to be purified. He has to give everybody what they want. He has to give everyone what they want. That's our God. So he says, the church and the world have to be purified. So that's what's going on right now. The church and the world is being purified. So this great chastisement, he says, where the large majority of humanity will be gone. Okay, the first purification was the flood. The second purification was Jesus washing the world clean with his precious blood. The third purification is fire from heaven. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire from heaven is coming, and a lot of people are not going to make it. Our job is to help people get through this. That's our job, to begin to bring people to become aware of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The world is going to be consumed in love. And then what happens at the end of that? Jesus says, this fire that's coming is going to purify the world. And then he says, before the great chastisement, my mother is marking all the little children in the holy divine will, and no harm can come to them. I believe that. I really believe that. Why? Because this is what Jesus said. He said to Louisa, the souls marked by my mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. I believe that. Little or no effect. And then the fourth thing that he says is the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children in the holy divine will. There's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus said to Louisa, do what I want and I'll do what you want. Now we want our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. We want everyone to be one with God in the holy divine will. God says, you do what I want. And that's to live in the divine will now, so that I will do then what you want. So this is what he says. He says, the souls who live in the divine will are channels. These souls resides in divine power. Therefore, these souls are the foot of the missionary, the tongue of the preacher, the strength of the weak, the patience of the sick, the regime of the superiors, the obedience of the subjects, the tolerance of the slandered, the firmness in the dangers, the heroism in the heroes, the courage in the martyrs, the sanctity with the saints, and so on with all the rest. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. That's what's coming. A new beginning for all of humanity, where Jesus tells Louisa, what the saints had in the Old Testament, each one had a special virtue, the strength of Samson, the wisdom of Solomon, the bravery of David, if you want to say, the heroism. In the divine will, the souls of the divine will have all of that. And the souls of the divine will have all of the virtues of the saints. It's not a sliver. It's not just one aspect. What Jesus says, this is the fullness of life that he is now ready to give to the earth, this sanctification of man. This is what's coming. But Jesus says, what I have to do first is I have to give everyone what they want. I have to give everybody what they want. So what do we want? We want to participate in this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. As he says, the souls who live in my divine will seem like they're doing nothing, but actually they are doing everything. Everything's being changed on the face of the earth by the souls who are striving to live in the divine will, little by little, until Jesus says, I finally find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, and then I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. He hasn't found anybody yet. We all have to get to that point where the only thing that's important to us is to live in the divine will. The only thing that's necessary for us is to begin to live this. So again, these souls act divinely. Why? It's Jesus. We're allowing Jesus to reign in us in a hidden and surprising way. They are light which illuminates, wind that purifies, fire that burns, miracles that causes miracles. Those who do miracles have become the channels. But in these souls, the power, the divine power resides. So he says, everything that's happening in the world, everything that's changing the face of the earth, it's happening because of the souls living in the divine will. Those souls who are a missionary, they're walking because of the children in the divine will. Those preachers are preaching because of the souls living in the divine will. The strength of the weak, those that are crippled up and can't do anything, the strength, the fortitude is given to them by the souls living in the divine will. Why? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Everyone's being affected by this gift of the divine will. The face of the earth is being transformed by this gift of the divine will. And what Jesus is asking, he's asking us, do you want to participate in this? And when we say yes, he goes, okay, begin. He goes, and I'll help you. He says, when you read the three appeals, Jesus says, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart so that you will love it. This is Jesus's promise. He is going to do this. Why? It's his life. It's his mother's life. And he's looking for us to get out of the way so God can work. And again, everything's changing. The tongue of the preachers, the strength of the weak, the patience of the sick, the regime of the superiors, the obedience of the subjects, the tolerance of the slander, the firmness of the dangers, the heroes of the heroes, the courage of the martyrs, the sanctity of the saints, and so on with all the rest. Being in my will, these souls concur with all the good, with all the good that can be both in heaven and on earth. You see why the face of the earth is changing? Jesus says this is a divine decree. He says he's waited 6,000 years to begin this abundant life, and he has predestined us to live at this time. We're nobodies. We're nothings. Yet he says, I want to use you to bring about a new beginning for humanity. But it's really not new. It's the oldest gift. It's the gift that God breathed into Adam, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. He says, I give you Holy Communion in your church. Why? To prepare you to begin to live a perennial communion with God, never to be separated from God. God has called us to live at this time, predestined us to live at this time, and he's showing us that what he is going to do is going to astonish the world. It's going to astonish the world. And so he says to the priests, I mean, very, very clearly, this is what she said to the bishop. May you live always in the divine will. May Jesus make of you a missionary of the divine will. The priests are going to become missionaries. And they're going to, Jesus says, through Louisa, she says to the priests, you preach and you're preaching a hard and stale bread that the people cannot digest. Louisa says, read the book of heaven. Jesus will give you a taste of truths that you've never thought of, truths and a life that you're not even aware of. And it's going to be a food that you're going to feed your sheep. And they will taste this. They will begin to live this. And he says, and everything will become basically the way God has planned from the beginning. He says he's going to change the priesthood, and he needs the priests to begin to live this abundant life. And this is why our job, I mean, it's very, very simple, is to read every day. And I know the priest life is packed. But what you do is you promise Jesus that you'll read every day, a half an hour a day. This will be instead of television, instead of, you know, any novel, this will be your spiritual reading. And as you begin to read, just a half an hour a day, as you begin to read and the other thing is to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Why? Because Jesus says very, very clearly that he wants us to share in this divinity. This is what he says. I can't remember where it was. Yeah, you're entering into this light, this life, this love of God is to be with our Eucharistic Lord. Pope St. John Paul II said this in the 80s. He says, every parish, he says, to understand the Eucharist, Everyone should spend time in front of their prisoner of love, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him. He says, if we spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, we will begin to understand his love for us. And that was Louisa's life. You know, as a child, she spent time every day in front of the Blessed Sacrament as a child. Then what happened was when Jesus told her to go to bed for 40 years, she was in her room and she could not spend any more time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, being obedient to Christ. And then what happens when Father Nibelet builds the orphanage of St. Anthony, and her room is right across the hall from the chapel. Her doors were open, the chapel's doors were open, and she sees Jesus. And in volume 25, she says to Jesus, finally, 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 after 40 years, she says, I'm your prisoner in bed, and you're my prisoner in the tabernacle. And then for those last 10 years while she was in the orphanage, every day she was with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He gave her wish. So what is our wish? What do we want? And if it's to fall in love with Jesus, then we have to spend time with him. To fall in love with Jesus is to listen to him, to hear him. And this is what you find in the Book of Heaven. Everything that Jesus tells Louisa, what he says, this is what it's about, is going to be given to us. Why? Jesus says, I can't find anybody. Everybody's too busy doing their own thing. Even the saintly people, they're doing their own thing. And he says, I'm looking for souls who recognize their nothingness so that I can fill them with divinity. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to recognize this light, this love, this life of God, this infinite ocean of love that he's asking us to dive into and drown, never to escape him, to always participate with, in, through, and for him. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's a glorious time to be alive. And our Lord is getting everything ready. Everything's happening. You know with what happened this week when we prayed in the divine will and made it Jesus's command, watch what God's going to do. When we learn how to pray in the divine will, when we learn how to give everything over to Jesus so it becomes his command, Jesus is doing it. It's Peter walking on the water. It's not that Peter did it. I'm going to walk on the water. He says, Jesus, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Jesus is teaching Louisa, this is how we are to pray, to surrender everything to Jesus and say, it is, take my prayer and make it your command. Divine things are happening. Amazing things are happening. The miracles that are happening are astonishing. It's all over the world. And as people begin to read, as people begin to study, as people begin to put this into practice, everything changes. Like that woman who said she started reading last year. She says, I am not the same person anymore. Jesus is there and she knows it. Mary is there and she knows it. And that's what's happening to us. We're falling more and more in love with Jesus. We're falling more and more in love with Mary. This is what God has planned. And he is doing it. This is the time, he says to Louisa, that everything's going to change. And he's allowing us, predestined us to live at this time so that we can watch what the Lord is doing. It's a new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II said. It's begun. And we're learning just a sliver of this. Wait till he opens the doors and everything starts happening. God is going to do this. The more that you read, the more you're going to understand what the Lord has planned. And for each and every one of us, it's a unique experience that we're going through. What I have seen, what other people have seen is it's different. Why? Because God loves our uniqueness. He wants us to be filled. He wants us to radiate with his light, his love, his life. So great things are happening. Great things are right around the corner. Read, just read. Promise Jesus that you'll read. And this is between you and him. Read every day and watch what happens. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. We pray that all the little children, the holy divine will, become divinely healed. And we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.